It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Evidence suggests that by 2040, roughly half the adult population may be obese. That may be why the American Medical Association voted overwhelmingly to officially reclassify obesity as a disease last week. The vote goes against the advice of the AMA's Council on Science and Public Health, which last week advised against calling obesity a disease. So the debate is ongoing. I'm joined now in Studio A by Dr. Issa Davis, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Obesity Researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Davis, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Should obesity be classified as a disease? If you are someone you know is obese, how is it being treated? How do you think it should be treated? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Dr. Issa Davis, what does reclassifying obesity as a disease mean for people who are obese?
I think what this will mean is greater awareness of the seriousness of obesity as a abnormal health state. It'll also, we hope, will provide more resources for treatment. Particularly as a family physician, it will allow us to be able to refer patients who are obese with and do not have another medical problem going along with that, such as diabetes or hypertension. And hopefully those treatments will then be covered by insurance. Right now, what ends up happening is unless you have another medical problem along with your obesity, so such as high blood pressure or diabetes, oftentimes things like nutritional services are not covered by insurance and have to be paid out of pocket. And so it limits a lot of, you know, what can be provided to these patients.
So this gives the doctors a lot more leeway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it will now, it's a diagnosis that will stand on its own when it comes to coding for these visits. It'll allow the doctors to be able to spend that time to be able to help prepare better treatment plans. And again, hopefully be able to refer them to weight loss programs both within the medical community and in the community at large, and that will be covered by insurance.
So this will change insurance coverage. All of this will be covered?
No, not necessarily. So I think, let's step back. One thing that this decision does is that it's not a legal decision. So it's not a mandated thing that will hold insurance companies to having to do this. But private sectors and government sectors who provide healthcare resources generally acknowledge the AMA as an authoritative body. And so it's our hope that with classifying this disease, this problem as a disease, that insurance companies will recognize that and will broaden their coverage of it.
And will this, bottom line here, will this help save lives?
That's our hope. That's what we need to do. I think if it will increase awareness, if it will bring patients into the healthcare setting, have this dialogue with their physicians, if it will help to increase treatment plans and coverage of treatment plans, if it will help to increase funding of research and inspire innovation of prevention and intervention programs, then I think we're moving in the right direction. You know, this has been a major problem for the past several decades. And unfortunately, with our current efforts, we have not made a dent in this problem at all. As you see, the rates, there are a third of the United States adults are classified as obese. So that is, by definition, having a body mass index of greater than 30. And we have not been able to make any dramatic dent in this. So I think if this will bring everybody to the table in terms of the seriousness of it and help us to provide more resources to get people the treatment that they need and help to make an impact, then I think we're moving in the right direction.
Why are so many more people, why are so many more children obese? What's going on?
Well, I think if you look back over the past several decades, I think one of the things that has played into it has been the availability of food. So there's greater access and availability to particularly nutrient-dense foods, so a lot more fast foods, a lot more sodas. So the intake of these kind of more nutrient-dense foods, along with the decrease in physical activity. People are more sedentary than they used to be several decades ago. We rely a lot more on transportation, following the last segment, in terms of cars. There's, in terms of children, there's been limited access to physical activity within the school systems.
And that is a good point, because we're seeing a lot of physical education go away. But when you say that we're more sedentary, certainly there are more things that keep us inside. And yet, you see more people jogging than you used to see. You see people, out in the streets riding their bicycles to get to and from places in Pittsburgh, which mm-hmm. you certainly didn't see years ago. So is it just a segment of society that's exercising? Are we simply not doing it as a whole?
I think when you step back and look at the macro level, then, we're a lot more sedentary when you compare us to where we were 20 years ago. But you're absolutely right. I think over the past several years, there are some communities that are doing more to try to promote physical activity. For instance, in Pittsburgh and the D.C. area, there's the bike share program. So trying to get people to be more physically active by putting in bike lanes, by putting in sidewalks into communities. So those things do promote physical activity. So I think, yes, you do see some segments that are becoming more physically active. But overall, there are some segments that are not, that they're still very sedentary.
What were we doing 20 years ago that we're not doing now?
I think part of it was, we tended to, within the school system, we had more physical activity every day. And I remember when I was younger, there was the president's fitness program, fitness challenge.
I remember that
was
that.
A mandatory
that went with it.
That's right. And so that was mandatory, that all kids had to kind of pass this fitness test. But physical activity was a daily part. Recess was a daily part of school. And that has gone away in some school systems now and been replaced by, the competing academic requirements that now schools have to enforce. So that's part of it. Also, I think we engaged in more activities after school. There were a lot more, sports after school. And with some of the economic challenges that school systems are having, it's more difficult to provide those opportunities.
I think recess was my favorite. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Ron first in Aspinwall. Ron, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. I guess the 800-pound gorilla in the room for me is if we are blaming all of this on, or a lot of it, on changes in lifestyle, lack of exercise at school, kids not playing after school, not walking to and from school, on and on and on, and an increase in eating a lot of processed foods, mm-hmm. then what is the threshold for something which it sounds like you're admitting that a lot of this is driven by societal changes, and what is the threshold for then calling obesity a disease rather than just something that's happened by way of changes in our society?
So I think when you look at it on an individual level, let's first kind of define what obesity is. And I think that would help. So the definition of obesity is when you have an excessive amount of fat accumulation that occurs over a period of time, and that fat accumulation is more than what your height can support. So it's also considered a body weight of greater than 30% for your height. And it's very different from overweight. So overweight has to do with taking everything into consideration, your bones, your muscle, your water, your tissues. But obesity, by definition, is the accumulation of fat stores, abnormal amounts of fat stores, and it occurs over a long period of time. So it is, by definition, an unhealthy state, and one that, you know, needs to be recognized as such. And I think, you know, part of the difficulty has been that we, you know, we look at overweight as more of a cosmetic thing, as opposed to really it's an abnormal health state that is linked to a lot of the other medical problems that we see: diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease.
412-246-2002 is our number. Let's go to Dawn in Moon. Dawn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. My question is about, you know, reclassifying obesity as a disease. What kind of impact will that really make on a person who has to make a change to his and her lifestyle in order to treat the disease? I mean, we can't force people into treatment, even though we say it's a disease. They have to make a choice about, do you think reclassifying it will help them make the choice to make positive change?
Absolutely. I think so, because I think it will, you know, when they come in to see their physician, it provides a way to frame obesity as a disease, to let them know this is an unhealthy state. And continuing to be obese is going to put you at risk of all of these other medical problems, as well as increased risk of an early death. And I think if it helps to provide a more serious discussion to help motivate that individual to take the steps that they would need to, or at least to say, I'm ready to do something about this, then you're absolutely right. Then we can, you know, we can help get them on the right road by providing those resources or providing tools that can help them to do it. But it is their choice. But I think as much as we can bring the information to them that this is something that has to be or should be addressed, just as all the other medical problems that are similar. So it's very similar to high blood pressure, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. And we do the same thing for people who present with those things as well. So, I do hope that this will help to motivate people more.
412-246-2002, if you would like to get in on the conversation with our guest, Dr. Isa Davis, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Obesity Researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. 412-246-2002, our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. I'll give that again, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We need to take a break. We'll continue our conversation on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about last week's decision by the American Medical Association, the American Medical Association voting overwhelmingly to officially reclassify obesity as a disease last week. We're curious about what you think. 412-246-2002, should obesity be classified as a disease? And we'd also like to know if you or someone that you know is obese and how they are treating their obesity, or how you are treating your own obesity. How do you think it should be treated? And we'd like to hear some success stories from someone who was obese and confronted their situation and managed to lose the weight, get in better shape, do whatever it is that you needed to do to be in better health. Again, our guest is Dr. Isa Davis, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Obesity Researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. And let's take another call from Elizabeth in the North Hills. Elizabeth, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Elizabeth. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead. Okay, great. I have parents who are obese, and when they go for their checkups, their doctors are always telling them, oh, your blood pressure's under control, your blood sugar's looking good, you're looking great. I want to know how long this is going to take to come into effect where my parents' doctors finally start telling them, you know, you need to do something about this. Or are there going to be doctors who choose not to treat it as a disease state and continue to tell my parents that they're doing fine?
That's a good question. I think this will, what we'd like to see is this comes into play very quickly. And I think what is going to help is the public knowing that this is now treated as a disease. And when they come, when the listeners come in and say, I have heard that obesity is now a disease, or, I want to talk about my weight, I think that it will engage the doctors more to talk with them about their weight. But I do think that physicians, I think the one thing to realize is that there are physicians who, we already see this as a chronic illness, and many of us treat this as a chronic illness. I think what this will do is, if insurance coverage is broadened to include this as a diagnosis now that's coverable, I think you will see more physicians engaging patients and coming up with treatment plans, or at least being able to make referrals to the appropriate resources that could help them.
Why does a clinically practical diagnostic indicator of obesity remain elusive, as some medical people say?
In terms of being able to diagnose it?
Yeah.
I think we have two that we use that are fairly fairly good in the clinical setting. I mean, the main one that everybody knows of is the body mass index. And that is usually calculated on all people when they come in based on their weight and their height. And then you get a kind of a percentage or your body mass index. And then based on where you fall, so if you have a body mass index of greater than 30, you would be classified as obese. The other kind of practical way to get an estimate of body weight is by using waist circumference. And usually we will measure you around the waist. And if you're a man and you have greater than 40 inches, or a woman that's greater than 35 inches, then you're classified as obese. And the waist circumference actually measures more of your kind of abdominal obesity, or fat that is usually put around your abdomen or around your organs. And that obesity has been the more concerning, because that's the one that's most linked to increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So those two are, they're with some exceptions to some subgroups where it doesn't apply. For instance, in the case of athletes, for the general population, the body mass index and the waist circumference are pretty practical tools that can be used to help estimate body weight.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Lance in Pittsburgh. Lance, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, Lance. Welcome to the show. Go ahead with your comment or question.
My comment is this. I don't feel that obesity should be classified as a disease, because ultimately it's a lifestyle choice. And if you eat correctly and you exercise, you will not have the problem. I feel that that's been reclassified so doctors can treat this and make money on it, and I have to pay higher premiums in my health care so it can be treated.
Well, Lance brings up a point that a lot of people say who disagree that obesity is a disease, but rather a choice. So what about what Lance is saying? Is obesity more than a choice, Dr. Davis?
I think it is. I think obesity is complex. There is a behavioral component, a large behavioral component. There's a genetic component. There's an environmental component, as well as a metabolic and a cultural component. I think, one of the things for people to keep in mind is that, when you look at cardiovascular disease, when you look at diabetes, when you look at hypertension, other chronic illnesses, they are also very much lifestyle choices as well. They have a very large behavioral component in terms of people eating right and also exercising. But we don't have the same, kind of feeling towards people that, come in with those diseases. And I think obesity is in the same light. And also remember that it leads to those other three chronic illnesses. So although I think there is a large behavioral component, it is there is a lifestyle component choice. I think what it will help to do is it will help physicians be able to talk and encourage and motivate their patients to make those dietary changes or to provide them resources or get them linked up to resources that can help and support them. Because I think that's ultimately in dealing with all of these chronic illnesses, you know, the responsibility of being able to support people in their behavior change and help them and assist them is what we should be trying to do.
And I and certainly the AMA agrees with you. And in reading from the straight from the AMA report, it is said, quote, "The suggestion that obesity is not a disease, but rather a consequence of a chosen lifestyle exemplified by overeating and or inactivity is equivalent to suggesting that lung cancer is not a disease because it was brought about by individual choice to smoke cigarettes."
And that's again, absolutely
that's quoting the AMA report. Let's go back to the phones, and we have Bob and Shaler. Bob, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I wanted to comment about the thing that you just said about the choice. When I was having some emotional issues, I turned to overeating many, many years ago, about 30, 35 years ago, and I gained 120 pounds in a year. A lot of the foods that I ate seemed to have an addictive quality, like salt, mm-hmm. sugar, and fat. Those mm-hmm. three were the unholy trio. And like I said, I gained 120 pounds. And after having that weight on, I'm about 5'7", 5'8". Having that weight on for about 2 years, I found a support group called OA, Overeaters Anonymous, that helped me to look at the psychological component as well as the addictive qualities of some of the foods and presented a 12-step program that has really put me in good standing for the past 30 years. And that's an issue that is sometimes neglected is the at least I think you don't hear as much about the addictive qualities of some of the foods like sugar, fat, and salt.
And we hear that a lot, that you can become as addicted to those substances as to tobacco or alcohol or a drug.
That's absolutely right. And there's there's some ongoing research around that, looking at various chemicals and that's in food or components in food. And it has been suggestive that those that you mentioned, sugar, fat, and salt, do have an addictive component and people need to be aware of. I wanted to go back to something you said about the psychological aspect of eating. And I think you bring up a really good point of and here's where I think that there's some of this that's not largely just a lifestyle choice. But I think people, we did some research on obese women, and one of the things that we asked them was to, you know, try to define kind of when their weight problem started. And there were some women that talked about, it started when they were younger. Some of them had been abused or had households that were negative, and they use eating and their weight as a way to protect themselves, as a way to comfort themselves. And in that regard, I think, there's that psychological component, and they talked about that needed to be addressed in their weight loss efforts. And oftentimes, even some of the many kind of popular weight loss programs that were out there, you know, did not address that component of it, and it made it difficult for them to be able to lose weight in those programs over time. So I think that there are some real serious psychological components to this and then that do need to be addressed and that we need to be aware of.
We're down to just about a minute. We can take a quick question or comment from Nicholas in Oakland. Nicholas, if you hurry, we'll get your comment in.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've been fighting obesity all my life. I was one of those fat kids that grew up eating fast food and playing video games. Now at the age of 24, just graduating college, I finally have time to work on it. And before I never did, being in class and all that. So I think it's definitely in part for a lifestyle, especially for those of us who grew up in it. But now I'm trying really hard to fight the disease that I know I have now. So thank you for all the work you're doing, and Have a good day.
Well, thank you, Nicholas. Appreciate that comment. And before we wrap up, just one quick question for you, Dr. Davis. Is obesity not simply due to overeating?
No, it's not simply due to overeating. It's one that, at the simplest part, it is when you have increased energy intake not expending that energy through physical activity. However, I think, you know, the thing to remember in all of this is that it's a complex medical problem that's going to require all of us to address it, both at the individual and at the societal level.
And we'll have to call it right there, Dr. Davis. But Dr. Issa Davis, Assistant Professor of Medicine and Obesity Researcher at the University of Pittsburgh, has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.